So at the beginning of most of the workshops I do around the country, I found it very effective to first help my clients understand how it is that we all learn and acquire a new skill, or how we affect a lasting change in our behavior. And for this purpose, I like to use the model for change that's familiar to most professional trainers. It identifies the four stages of learning each of us go through. The first stage is called unconscious incompetence, or pre-change. That's when we don't know how much it costs us to not do what we don't know we should be doing. And no, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is ignorance. It's just simply fewer choices. This stage becomes a reoccurring roadblock to success for those who consider themselves an expert. And I've already discussed with you the problem with considering ourselves experts. It's important, though, that we acknowledge the profound difference, in my mind at least, between being an expert and owning a level of expertise. Now, according to Webster, these are the same things. But in the real world, the former often implies a destination achieved, while the latter implies an asset that usually requires constant care, updating, and management. Now, just in case we're saying to ourselves right now, well, I don't think I know it all, let me clarify these positions by the following examples. The expert seldom attends any seminars or workshops, while the student knows that learning events outside the workplace are a fertile ground for accelerating the learning process and taking their career to the next level of success. The expert rarely reads books or other publications about their field anymore, while the student is an absolute pig for that knowledge. An expert consistently looks for reasons why new ideas or strategies won't possibly work, and often they use phrases like the right way or the best way to handle something, which is generally the only way they know how to handle something. The student, on the other hand, knows that nothing works all the time and rarely will any one thing be effective for everybody, but if it's working for somebody else, then maybe it'll work for me too. The expert uses the excuse that they spend so much time doing this stuff at work that they don't need to devote any of their free time to it. The student, on the other hand, is passionate about what they do, and they derive pleasure from growing and evolving their craft. The expert tends to live paycheck to paycheck and often reminisces about a time when the business was easier and more lucrative. The student, on the other hand, is usually one of the top producers and absolutely energized at the prospect of what the future will bring. So, let me ask you, which one are you? The second stage of learning we call conscious incompetence, or waking up. That's when we do know how much it's been costing us to not do what we now know we should do. And to me, this is the most exciting part of the learning process, the broadening of our awareness. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "The human mind, once expanded by a new concept, never retains its original dimensions." And I feel that's true. It can sometimes be difficult for us to admit that perhaps there is a better way to do what we think we've been doing well all along. New ways require change, and change is a drag because it requires effort. That's why we sometimes simply dismiss them without ever trying them out for ourselves first. The new way poses such a threat that we'll even attack the person sharing it with us. Like, they sell a different product, or they work in a different part of the country, or they don't have the same amount of experience as we do, or we make more money than they do. Einstein once said, "The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know." He was also once quoted as saying, "The difference between genius and stupidity is that genius has its limits." Socrates once said something to the effect of, "The only thing that I know is that I know nothing." And as far as discounting a new way simply because we heard it first from someone who's maybe less experienced or less successful than us, we'll all do well to remember the adage, "Wise men learn more from fools than fools ever learn from wise men." But if we don't fall victim to simply dismissing a new way the first time we hear it, the next and third stage of change is identified as conscious competence, or choosing change. This is where we struggle to master what we now know we should be doing. And this is usually the most awkward of the four stages, where we feel the stiffness and the strangeness of trying something new or different. This is also the stage where most children excel and most adults fail. By adult, I mean anyone who has a fairly well-formed definition of themselves, the universe, and their role in that universe. So let me ask you something. How long would you give the average child to learn how to walk? When I ask that in the workshops, people say 8 months, 10, 12, sometimes 14. Whatever the highest number is I get out of the group, I add a couple months and say, okay, well, what if it takes 16? If it took your child 16 months to learn how to walk, Would you walk up to that child and say, hey, you know what, Junior? Don't worry about it. This walking thing, it's not for everybody. Don't sweat it, buddy. And now, of course, we wouldn't tell our child that because we want them to learn how to walk. Let's do the flip side. What if after bumps and bruises and scratches of our child trying to learn to walk, they walk up to us and say, Dad, you know this walking stuff? What a bunch of baloney. I tell you what, why don't I wait till I'm like 2 or 3 and I'll just start running? What do you say? Of course, that's just as ridiculous as the former, but don't we know adults that think the same way? They do the same thing over and over and over again, looking over their shoulders for a different result. Well, you see, kids don't think like that because falling down to them doesn't equal failure. They just see others walking, so they keep getting back up. Fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up until they learn how to walk. But with adults, it's a little different because it's not cool to fall down. It's uncomfortable to fail or to look foolish or to be silly. So we'll try something new as adults. We'll try something new 2 or 3 times. And if we don't meet with instant success, we'll start making excuses. We'll say things like, well, you know, that may work in Memphis, but this is Seattle. Or, yeah, but he sells Cadillacs. You know, I'm selling Hondas. It's a different customer. Or, yeah, I gave it a fair shot, but it just didn't work. Or they'll say something like, well, you know, it just wasn't me. Instead, we need to follow the example of that child learning to walk. After each fall, we need to ask ourselves what we learned, what could we do differently to get a better result, and how quickly can we get back up and try it again? Take it from someone who personally knows. If you fail enough, it simply stops hurting. Along those lines, Mr. Honda, the founder of the Honda Motor Company, once was quoted as saying, success is 99% failure. And I believe I agree. In this, the third stage of owning a new skill, we may also feel a little discouraged or disheartened as we fall back into the old habits or old ways of doing things. But it's perfectly natural to feel and do just that. With patience and perseverance and practice, we will get to the fourth stage of change, however, which is called unconscious competence. This is when the things we know we should do come naturally and become a habit. It's not even a technique anymore. It's just part of what we do. It's part of us. It's part of our personality. It's part of the way we operate all the time. But beware, even at this stage, without consistent practice and study, we can still fall back into that awkward conscious competence stage. That's why I also make a point in my workshops to teach my clients how to make role-playing effective and fun. I have seen how vitally important daily role-playing is to our continued success. The ability and habit of regularly practicing old and new skills in a non-threatening, safe, and even fun learning environment are something that all peak performers have in common. Now, I've shared this model of change so that we don't become too discouraged when we experience the small setbacks that are inevitable. Instead, we'll be able to recognize where it is we are in the learning process, pick ourselves back up, and just continue on. And speaking of continuing on, let's move on to role-playing.